The real genius of Macintosh, Apple's newest personal computer, isn't its 32-bit microprocessor, or that it captures the power of a mainframe on a board 10 by 10 inches, or even that it costs half as much as computers half as powerful. The real genius of Macintosh is that you don't have to be a genius to use it. Macintosh, the computer for the rest of us.
Hello, and welcome to the Colcast, the best 30-plus minute app conversation you're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Irfan Elijah. Joining me today, his upcoming book documents Tim Cook's rise to total global domination, as well as some of his favorite recipes. Leander Caney is here.
The Tim Cook book.
I really hope that's the title that you go with.
I pitched it. They didn't go for it.
No, they didn't like it. Well, keep trying. Also joining us, when he's not running Cult of Mac, you'll find him ghostwriting Leander Caney's new Tim Cook book. Lewis Wallace is here.
Trying not to cough.
It's the best Leander Caney book
written by
Lewis Wallace has written.
And I've got David Perini ghostwriting it for me.
Really? Because he asked me to help him write
it. It's a multi-level scam we got going here.
And I farmed it out to some guy in another country. So he's not even writing it in English. I'm going to use like the Amazon translation service to
$1 a chapter.
That's right. We're going to make a fortune on this book. Well, when is the book coming out, Leander? We talked about it in previous episodes, but I don't feel like we ever really talked about the date that it was coming out.
It's not even official yet. We haven't still inked the deal. I mean, it's as good as done, but we haven't signed on the line that is dotted.
Okay, so but it's still a potential book.
Well, no, it's further along than that. I mean, it's been commissioned, but I haven't actually signed the contract. So, but we're talking about a pub date, maybe early 2019.
Wow, that far out.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll keep bringing it up from time to time so people don't totally forget
yeah,
about
so
it.
Don't forget.
In the meanwhile, whatever happened to Cult of Mac 2.0?
Well, Dave is still working on that.
Okay, so that's still in the works.
Yeah, and thanks for reminding me. It's a source of anxiety.
Of great anxiety and angst.
Right. I've got to do a few things with that. Yeah. So I got to check in with Dave and see how that's coming along. He's been working with the editor over at No Such Press.
Yeah.
And the last time I checked in on him, he said, it's going great.
Oh, yeah, it's almost done. It's going to be great.
Right, exactly. Yeah, no worries. And then he was back to his hammock.
back into his banana hammock and then actually into his real hammock. Mm-hmm. Well, for those that don't know, Leander has a huge assortment of Apple books that you can check out on both Audible and on Amazon. And many of them are very good. So little plug for you there, Leander.
Thank you.
Let's see here. What do we have for you all this show? Oh, we actually had so much stuff. I had to cut stuff out of this show. Here's what we got. We're going to tell you about the huge HomeKit home app improvements in iOS 11. I'm going to try to get you hyped for this because I'm hyped and it gets way more powerful than it ever was in iOS 10 and iOS 11. We're going to tell you about its new talents. Also, I want to at least give you a PSA about this new Apple ID phishing scam that I think you all need to know about and how you can prevent it. I am pretty savvy when it comes to scams. I can tell a scam from a mile away. This is one of the most clever phishing scams I've seen. And there's literally no way you could know you were being scammed unless you knew what to look for. So we'll tell you about that. Leander is going to share with us Tim Cook's unusually frank interview about Apple's AR glasses. We'll tell you what he said. And we're going to tell you about the hundreds of new emoji coming to you in iOS 11.1. We don't normally talk about emoji. This isn't a show for 10-year-old girls. But I'm genuinely excited about this. And Lewis was making lots of high-pitched squeals when we were talking about emoji before recording, so I know he's excited too. And then finally, we're going to wrap up with an all-new under review where we'll tell you about the gadgets, what we like and what we don't about the gadgets that we're currently reviewing. I've got one of my favorite iPhone cases of all time, and it fits your iPhone 8 and also your iPhone 7 and probably iPhone 10 when it comes out. And so stay tuned for that. Before we dive into this fishing story, Leander, why don't you tell us a little bit about the Cult of Mac watch store?
The watch store. The watch store is going from strength to strength. We have some new stuff on the watch store from Riley & Lowe. It's a local California manufacturer. And they make these really beautiful flexible bands. So like the one I talked about before from Speedal. These ones come in all sorts of different colors. So you can get it in gold and in space gray, silver, what was the other one color? Navy. Oh, a navy color. Yeah, so navy. The navy one looks really hot. These are really, really nice bands. They're, you know, there's elastic, classic, elastic, stretchy steel link bands.
Oh, yeah.
So they really, really, really do look good. I really recommend that people check them out. It's Riley and Lowe, and they're about $80, $80 per band. And if you are a Cultcast listener, just type in the code word Cultcast, super secret code word Cultcast at checkout, and get a 20% discount. 20% discount, which means that, you know, we are going to go bust fairly soon, so you should do that before.
Leander is losing $200 on every sale.
I know, it's awful. It's terrible.
He's mortgaged his house so that he can give you better prices on the watch bands in the store because he likes you. That's why he's doing it.
Oh, I do. I love
profiteering. You know, motive here.
Right. Oh, I love the customers. I love our customers totally. And I love our bands. And I love the store. I think the store is absolutely fantastic. Like, it's really worked out really well. I think it's a great one-stop shop for all these really high-quality bands. You know, like, you can get really cheap bands on Amazon, you know, $7. But, you know, they'll give you a nasty rash. This stuff is all been checked out, and you know, we really, really recommend this stuff. It's like the best stuff you can get out there. So it's not always the cheapest stuff, but it's definitely the best stuff. It'll last forever. It's a lot of these from mom and pop shops or from, you know, artisanal suppliers. You know, like Speedal, they've been in the watch business for more than 150 years. You know, they're making stuff for the Apple Watch, and you can't find this stuff. You know, you obviously can't find this stuff on Apple. They only sell their bands and their accessories. So this is, I think, is like, it's really coming together as like a really good place to get a really good overview of a really good of all the quality accessories that all these different companies are making, you know, from all over the world. So I'm really pleased with it. I really like it. I really get, you know, get a kick out of it.
I don't think
really
there's anything else like it either. I really don't. It's, no. I think you're really on to something here.
Right.
And there's no one else doing this. No. is the only place that you can go for a curated selection of the best stuff that's out there.
Right, absolutely. That's exactly true.
Well, if you want to check it out, head on over to store.cultofmac.com, store.cultofmac.com. The super secret code that you should absolutely not share with anyone that you know is Cultcast right. at checkout. Only you get to use it, and please only use it once, maybe twice, because remember, you're making Leander go broke, okay? store.cultofmac.com. Oh, if you missed the live show, I will be reposting the entire episode on my YouTube channel. I had to take it down. I'm such a dope. I put some audio in the show that I absolutely should not have put in. And I realized right after we posted the episode or we finished the broadcast, I was like, what am I thinking? I can't do this on YouTube. You can do this on Twitch, but you can't do it on YouTube. They'll give you a copyright strike. So I had to take it down. And I'm going to edit out the music at the beginning and at the end so I can repost the entire episode and then you guys can watch it. And I probably won't get to that until this weekend. I'll post a link on my Twitter. If you're interested in watching it, twitter.com/Erfon, ERFON. I'll post a link so that you can rewatch it. We had a great time, didn't we, Leander?
It was massive, mega fun.
It was a huge mess. It was a total train wreck, but it was fun. It was fun. And we talked about, we spent about 10 minutes just talking about the new Blade Runner movie, 2049, which I loved and Leander hated. So you can catch that as part of the broadcast. Also, I just want to throw this out there. Does anyone, this is going to be a total tangent, does anyone know how tall Tim Cook is? Leander, do you have any idea?
I don't. I assume he's about 6 foot.
He's 6'3".
Oh, really?
Whoa. He's a giant. Huh. He's a giant of a human. And Steve Jobs was 6'2". Did you know he was that tall?
No, I didn't. It was like I guess he towered over me a couple of times, but yeah. Yeah, he is.
So tall. You've met him in person. He tried to shake his hand several times.
Right, and he withdrew
it. And he didn't like that, but I was shocked. I don't even know how I ran across this yesterday, but I was reading. I think I saw a picture of him sitting down, and his pant legs were like really far up, and you could see his socks, and someone was commenting how tall he was. So I Googled it, and I was like jaw on the floor. I had no idea he was 6'3". He's a massive human. and then I was reading about other CEOs of more moderate size. Do you have any idea how tall Mark Zuckerberg is?
5'7".
You guessed Whoa. It. Wow. How did you know that?
I just guessed.
Wow. Yeah. He's only 5'7", and Bill Gates 5'10". A more modest.
That's not that short.
That's not that short. That's more average. And then Steve Ballmer is 7'6". Yeah. He towers above them all, right. But you all knew that. Yeah.
Yeah. Giant haystacks.
He's also the most muscular, the most attractive, the most enthusiastic of all the different
Don't forget
CEOs.
Sweaty.
Definitely the most. I didn't even say that because I just assumed that everyone knew that already. He just drips. He's got like those dark spots under your pits. Those are just always there, except they go all the way down his shirt at all times. Okay, let's talk about some Apple news. One of the most interesting stories I saw this week was about this Apple ID phishing scam, potential phishing scam, I should say, potential phishing scam. Did you guys see this story?
Yeah, it's a proof of concept, yeah, but a
so
clever one.
So this is a proof of concept. A savvy developer named Felix Krauss discovered it is shockingly easy for an iOS app developer to phish your Apple ID and password with a fake authentication prompt that looks exactly like a real one. So you're in a third-party app, and then all of a sudden a prompt comes up asking you for your Apple ID and your password. Well, he showed screenshots of a real authentication request and a fake one, and they look identical. There is no way you would be able to tell one from the other. Worse, developers can add the code for this prompt after their app has already been approved by Apple. It's kind of good that he sounded the alarm on this, but I'm sure there's going to be a lot of developers who are going to scramble to maybe add this code to their apps just to try to scam you now that they realize there's a way to do it. So here's how you can protect yourself. Here's how you know the difference between the two if this happens to you. If you get an authentication prompt in the third-party app, if you press the home button, the app will close and the pop-up will disappear if this was a fake authentication attempt. So you press the home button, the app closes, the pop-up disappears. That means it was fake. That means it was a phishing attempt. If you press the home button and the app and the pop-up remain on the screen, that means it was a genuine system dialogue and it can be trusted. So if it stays on the screen after you press the home button app, that means it's real. I just saved you. How much money do you have in your bank account? $150,000? I just saved you that money because someone could have stolen your Apple ID, and you probably use your Apple ID for your bank accounts, for all of your shopping websites, right, Leander Caney?
Mm-hmm. Right,
same password.
Same insecure password. Right.
It's password 1234 for literally every single website that you use. So just a little PSA. I doubt this will happen to many people, but if it does, you're going to be thanking me that you knew how to tell the difference between the two things. Okay, one of the other cool stories from this week, if you've been waiting for a MacBook Pro to go on sale, this is the time. Apple has finally started releasing the Touch Bar MacBook Pros as refurbished products. This is the first time that Apple has offered the 15-inch MacBook Pros with Touch Bar at a discount on their refurbished store. And they had a whole variety of models to choose from with different processor speeds and SSD sizes and that type of thing. And a typical refurbished MacBook Pro sells for about 15% less than the full retail price. So it's not a huge savings, but you know, the new MacBook Pros are what? $15,000, $16,000, $17,000. So you save a moderate sum when you go to buy one. You save like $300 or $400 depending on which model that you get. I still think that the best way to get a discount is A, the education discount, which is I think even more or the same as the refurbished discount. And then you use a credit card that gives you a cash back offer on Apple devices, such as Discover Card, which is always the way that I do it. The way I always buy my Apple devices, education discount, and then also Discover Card discount.
So you're saving about how much does that 10, add up 15. To a total saving?
It depends on the discount they give you for the education discount, but I think the education discount might be 10 or 15% depending on the model that you buy. And then Discover Card gives you 5% cash back on most Apple purchases. The only time they don't do it is if the device is brand new, like it just came out. They used to actually give you discounts on that too, but they stopped recently. So it takes like, you know, maybe 6 to 8 weeks after a device has been released where Discover will start to offer that 5% discount on those devices again. So I think total you can save, you know, between 10. If you're really lucky, you might be able to save 15 to 18%. But I would say normally it's like around 10-15%. But that's pretty good. I mean, there's no other way to get a discount on Apple products, right?
Well, depends. I don't know. I mean, I used to buy out of state, and that would save me state sales tax, which would...
Oh, well, okay, yeah. That's something that you could do as well.
And then refurbished, I think, is always a good way to go. Like, I like buying refurbished products.
That's what I mean. Besides the education discount on the refurbished products, I don't think there's a better way to do it. I mean, you might find a sale, like a third-party retailer.
Yeah, the third-party
like
sales, you know, some of it used to be sometimes really pretty aggressive.
They can be, but they're usually on the base models. You can't customize it to get, like, the premium equipment in your order. And one of the things I like about the education discount is it applies to the upgrades as well. So it makes the memory cheaper. It makes the CPU upgrades cheaper. It makes the entire thing cheaper. So you can build to order, and you still end up with a computer that's far less expensive than it would have been if you just bought it full retail.
Yeah, good tips.
I don't know if I should promote this, but we've talked about this on past shows. I have a legitimate way to get an education discount, but Apple doesn't check. They don't check. We talked about this on a previous episode. I mean, you can just go to the education store and buy one, I think. I don't think they check at all. When I was in college, actually, come to think of it, I think they did ask you what college you went to, and you had to go through your college's store, and it might have been protected in some way, but not anymore. Now you just tell them that you go to college, and they're like, high five, here's your discount. Yeah, they're really lax about it. It's just they're on the honor system. So not a lot of barriers for you to go in there and get a discount if you want one. Okay, so let's talk about ARKit, Leander Caney.
All right, so yeah.
We got a development this week on ARKit. Well, some news. And funny enough, somebody was asking us about this very thing in our Cultcast live show. They were asking us when the ARKit or when the AR smart glasses would come out.
Oh, on the live show, right, yeah.
Right. And what did Tim Cook have to say this week?
Well, he gave an interview, actually a pretty revealing interview with The Independent, which is a UK newspaper. And when asked about the topic, he said the technology to create a pair of augmented reality smart glasses, quote, in a quality way, doesn't exist yet. Mm-hmm. He said, and quote, but today I can tell you the technology itself doesn't exist to do that in a quality way. The display technology required, as well as putting enough stuff around your face, there's huge challenges with that. And then he went on to say the field of view, the quality of the display itself is not there yet. And then he added, we want to be the best and give people a great experience. But now, anything you would see on the market anytime soon would not be something that any of us would be satisfied with. Nor do I think the vast majority of people would be satisfied. So he's saying, you know, you could do it, but not in a quote-unquote quality way.
Right.
Yeah, so, you know, don't get excited.
Meaning no time soon. Right. You might be years and years away.
I know, yeah. If you're holding out for some AR glasses. I mean, who was predicting? One of the analysts was pretty bullish on the AR glasses, right? Saying that, Scoble has been saying, right?
Oh, right.
That they've been coming.
Oh, well, if Scoble said it, then it's definitely happening, right?
Right, oh, totally, yeah. So one of the most reliable prognosticators. Yeah, he was, he said they were going to come this year, I think, right? And, you know, no doubt they're working, they're looking at them, you know, they're experimenting, they're playing around. But so don't hold out, don't hold out hope that anytime soon Apple's going to have a pair of AR glasses. Of course, he could be doing the classic Steve Jobs, right? Of course, too.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Jobs did that all the time.
Oh, man. Technology is just not there yet, but secretly they've just developed it.
And it's going to come out just in time for Christmas, right?
That's right. Exactly. Well, one of the comments I read in one of these threads I thought was really interesting. Somebody was saying they were talking about miniaturizing the technology used to make it viable to use in a pair of glasses that you would actually want to wear. And I had never thought about that in that way, but it's such an obvious problem for AR glasses in that all the components are so large. They don't exist in such a small form factor yet where you could have glasses that were cool to wear, I mean, aesthetically, and they wouldn't overheat on your face, you know? Like, there's a lot of different issues that are making it difficult to have a pair of glasses that you would actually want to wear, like Tim Cook said. And they could probably make them huge, like the Microsoft HoloLens, which I've worn, and they're big. I mean, that thing sits on your head, you know it's there. You feel like you're wearing a helmet in some aspects. So it's not something that you would want to wear around town. It's certainly not something you'd want to wear on a date or something. But
maybe they can make it like, you know, a Phantom of the Opera style, you know, mask, right? That would go cover half your head.
Oh, it's like a half face helmet.
Yeah. Welding mask.
That's actually not a bad idea. You should send an email to Tim Cook and suggest that. I'm sure they'll jump right on it. They probably already developed it.
They've got
a lot of,
they've got, you know, the AirPods, right? You know, they with the W2 chip and the batteries in the AirPods, and they're kind of, you know, getting closer, I would have thought.
Well, the AirPods, I think, are able to be miniaturized because they just do audio.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of tiny audio components available now. But video, I think, is a different animal. You have to be able to move around images and video and all sorts of really processor-intensive stuff.
Well, what if they uploaded all that to your phone, you know, so that it was just beaming stuff to your glasses?
That's an interesting idea. That's something that the Nintendo Wii U does. The Wii U controller has a screen on it and the buttons and the joysticks and everything. And as you were playing, it would send all the input to the controller or to the console, and the console would send all of the image and the video back to the controller screen, and it worked really well. So yeah, maybe that's an interesting concept. You really should be working.
I should be filing a few patents, shouldn't I?
Yeah, you should go just take what you just said and file a patent just for that and just see if it sticks. And then if Apple does it, you could sue them for $200 billion.
Right, exactly.
In a few years. You can just make up some nonsense about how it will work. And then when they actually go through the hard work of figuring out how it will work, you can say, hey, that was my idea. Like all the patent trolls do. So long story short, don't expect the Apple AR glasses anytime soon. If I had to guess, I would say we're 5 years away. That's a total guess. But the way he made it sound, it made it sound like it was far off into the future, but they're clearly working on it. And, you know, as of now, you have your iPhone and AR kit I think that's kind of a litmus test for Apple in some ways, to see how people use it and how people like it, and to kind of refine the technology and then build what they learn into AR glasses.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, exactly. They're going to have an ecosystem of apps, you know, and use cases to where it makes it really useful. And I think that's going to take a couple of years for that to, you know, for that to happen. And in fact, did you see that he gave another interesting interview last week talking about exactly that, about how AR, you know, he thinks is profound and actually a world-changing technology. You know, like he thinks it's going to be as impactful as the App Store itself, and the whole idea of, you know, running apps on your phone. Like, AR is going to have a wide, wide impact on all kinds of different tasks and different kinds of software. It's a total horizontal change into the way people use software. He thinks that, you know, it's going to have a very, very profound impact on all kinds of different things.
I think I agree with him. I think we both agree with him.
Yeah.
We've talked about this before. We've both gotten pretty excited about the potential for AR, and some of the stuff that you're able to do with it, even now, is kind of jaw-dropping, like the whole being able to position furniture inside your living room, or imagine if you were shopping online and you could see yourself wearing the clothing that they were selling. That would be something that people would use all the time.
Absolutely, yeah. I can't wait to, like, you know, peruse Amazon, you know, as an AR, you know, in 3D, look at the AR projections of all the kind of stuff that, you know, I might want to buy. But
I want to walk through. I want to walk through Amazon like in the Matrix, right? When they're like the guns are loaded,
you're walking up down shelves.
Yeah, I want to have like a leather jacket on and those sunglasses without the stems that go over your ears. In fact, I just want to be Morpheus.
That's
if
right.
You could make me Morpheus, I would pay for that. I think that's more virtual reality, though.
Yeah. Well, he also said that he didn't think VR was profound at all. Like he doesn't think VR is going to be a big bust. Huh.
I used to be pretty hot on VR, but the more I use it, and I've had some applications where it was truly incredible in video games, but the more I use it, the more I think it's not going to take off, if only just because a lot of people get really sick when they use VR. And I have myself several times now, and it's a strange cold sweat that kicks on when your balance center in your brain starts going all haywire. And you start cold sweating, and then I got very nauseous, and I had to sit down for like an hour, and it didn't wear off for a while. And that was one of the last times I used it. And I started researching it, and I guess that's a pretty common reaction.
Right.
Some people actually puke.
Right. That's what you want from your technology.
Right. And it's a strange problem that I don't know if they're going to be able to solve that problem, because it's just the way your biology works. I mean, when your face sees rapid movement, but your brain is not experiencing that movement physically, it kind of freaks out and makes you want to hurl. They're gonna have to include a puke bag like on the airplane. Problem solved. Right. That's what Samsung's gonna do. Problem solved.
Transdermal drug injection
or something like that, right? Or they're gonna have to install
Dramamine,
those sockets in the back of your
they
head.
They load you up with Dramamine.
Okay, well, let's talk about these emojis.
Oh,
Lewis.
Man,
You're big on emojis, aren't you? I just love
to not use words.
I don't like to talk either, so this is perfect for communicating with people. And normally we wouldn't talk about emoji, but they added a ton of emoji. There's hundreds.
Yes, it is. Hundreds of new emojis and so many useful ones like breastfeeding, yoga, lotus position.
I'm just trying to think. Now, I realize I'm not a female. I'm just trying to think of a scenario where you would want to use an emoji to communicate about breastfeeding.
Yeah, so, you know, those are not maybe the most relevant to my lifestyle, but there are plenty of that are, you know. There's a sandwich emoji. Yeah. There's an exploding head emoji. I'm going to use that in my daily conversations.
That exploding head emoji.
There you go, right. That's about all you talk about, isn't it? The exploding head and the sandwich. That about just wraps it up. Well, that's about all you
there's also a puke one, which is... That's a pretty
nice
one.
Yeah.
And a pie. Don't forget the pie. Yeah.
There's the monocle. There's the little guy wearing the monocle, which is something that Leander will probably use all the time.
Right, absolutely.
Crazy little swearing emoji.
Oh, I didn't see that one. There's also the wizards and Draculas. Right. There's the Chinese food.
Fairy, genie, elf, zombie,
dinosaur.
There's a little cute little hedgehog. Yeah. There's a cricket, which I think I might be able to make use of as well.
Yeah, you can send me that every time I make a joke.
Right.
Send me a few of those, would you? Just so I know that you heard, but you really just didn't think it was funny.
What about the problem of finding the right emoji anyway? And have you noticed actually in iOS 11 that when you type a word and it's supposed to suggest an emoji as a substitute?
Uh-huh.
That's not altogether really that reliable.
Yeah, it doesn't work that well, does
no.
it? And the problem is because I feel like if you don't use the exact word that it's looking for, then it just doesn't suggest the emoji that you should use.
I tried it the other day. What was the word I was looking for? I was actually looking for the emoji. So I typed the word party, having a party. And I was sure that it was going to come up. And actually, eventually it did, but it didn't come up immediately. I had to type it a couple of times. It was really weird. Then it suggested three different emojis for me.
Oh, really?
Yeah, which is actually quite good. But
maybe they've made that smarter. There's this little emoji that looks like an explosion. It's like a collision. And, they call it the collision. And you used to have to type collision in order for it to pop up. But now I think it works if you type bang or other things. I'd have to check. But I think they made it smarter. So there are words now so that you could type various different words to get the same emoji. Whereas before, I feel like it was if you didn't type the exact name of the emoji, it just wouldn't suggest it for you, which was totally pointless because you just don't speak that way.
Well, I'm trying it now, and it's not working. Something you have to turn on?
No, it's just, you know...
I don't think so.
The whole iOS keyboard is just kind of sketchy, man. It doesn't work the same way every time you use it. I don't quite understand exactly what's going on, but I get a lot of strange autocorrect stuff going on. I don't know. It makes me feel baffled, you know, because you'd think that it would work the same way every time, but it clearly doesn't. I don't know what's going on with that.
You should try resetting it. You can reset it, and so that way you can start teaching it again. Maybe you taught it some bad habits.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's my fault. I'm using it wrong. I'm surprised Leander hasn't chimed in with that as the reason why it's not working.
Well, I'm trying to figure it out myself. I'm like, what's going on here, you know? So
that was a cool feature, too. I wish it worked better.
Yeah, when it first came out, it worked amazingly well. From what I can remember, everything I was typing was emojis.
It works much better on the Mac. So if you type Control Command Spacebar, it brings up when you're in a text dialog, it brings up the emoji menu. And if you then scroll to the top, you can use the search and you can type in what you're searching for. And it's really easy to find the right emoji in that context. But yeah, on the phone, it really is not that easy. And I feel like there needs to be like a universal search like there is with the Mac. Like when you first load the emoji, you should be able to swipe to the right and then load like a search menu and then search for the emoji that you're looking for. Boom. I just solved the problem right there. I should write that
up.
Patent.
Let's give him another patent. Yeah.
That's exactly what it needs to how it needs to work. Yeah. So anyway, there are a ton of great emoji coming to you in iOS 11.1, which we're all using the beta, I'm guessing.
I have not moved to that beta yet. I got a really old iPhone. But it is available now. The public beta is available, iOS 11.1 beta 2.
Yeah. Beta 2.
So anybody that wants to can go and sign up for that. I just haven't got around to it.
Yeah, if you want to check it out, I always recommend using the public betas on stable new operating systems, because then you're getting the updates, and they're making your iPhone more stable before everyone else's, and you're getting the new features ahead of time. Whereas, like, if you were on iOS 10 and iOS 10 was the official OS, using iOS 11 was risky, and it was actually terrible. It was crashing all the time. I eventually uninstalled it because it was so bad. Okay, let's move on to our discussion on iOS 11 HomeKit and the Home app, because speaking of going bang, it blew up in iOS 11. It does so much more now than it ever did before, and it's incredibly powerful. I'm loving it. I'm loving all the new options that we have in HomeKit, and especially in the Home app. And if you're not familiar with HomeKit and the Home app, it allows you to control devices remotely. It allows you to control devices based on timers and geofencing and that type of stuff. There's not a lot of HomeKit devices out there right now, which is one of the problems. But there are some cool ones. I'm using a bunch of different HomeKit-enabled lights. I've got some HomeKit-enabled locks. Lewis, what do you have?
I've got a lock.
Which one are you using?
The QuickSet Premise, I believe it's called. I've also got, what are they called? The Lutron Caseta. Some of those light, not fixtures, but you know, the switches in the walls.
So let me tell people about what's changing, or what has changed, I should say, in iOS 11. So HomeKit in iOS 10 was kind of inflexible. It was designed more for one person to control multiple devices and not for multiple people to interact with multiple devices in one home. And features like geofencing would only work with your phone. Well, that's no longer the case. In iOS 11, there's now multi-person geofencing. So you can have actions triggered when one person comes or goes, or when a group of people in the same HomeKit group come or go. So you could turn off the lights when the first person gets home, or you could turn off the heat when the last person leaves. That right there is an absolutely massive change to HomeKit, and it makes it viable for an actual home of people, because how many people
it's actually a pretty basic feature, and I can't believe they didn't even have before now.
It's totally true.
Right? But it's there now. There is also support for conditional triggers. So for example, lighting will come on when someone comes home, but only after sunset. Or the AC will turn on when someone comes home, but only if the temperature is above a threshold or below a threshold that you set.
Again,
you're dying laughing over there.
Yeah, again, you know, like something you think would be pretty basic and, you know, a must have. Like, you know, why do you want to turn the heating on when it's 87 outside?
Because you're home.
And you're right. You're right. But now HomeKit, I feel like, is actually usable by people who live in a house full of other people, and you can use it to control your home in all these powerful ways. Now, finally, one of the other additions, AirPlay speakers are now supported. So you could set your speaker to start playing music in the morning, or right after sunrise, or when you get home from work or something. There's also time-based triggers, so you can have your lights turn off at 5:30 or turn them on 30 minutes before or after sunrise or something. You could do day of the week reoccurrences, which I'm sure we'll have Leander chuckling again. So now you can have things set differently for different days. So if you wanted your lights to turn on in the morning, on the weekdays, you could do that, but then not turn on the weekends. That's a possibility. There's a home occupancy gate, so now you can have something run only if you're at home. There's also timers, so you can have things churn off after like a certain amount of time, like 1 to 60 minutes or something. And now, in addition to, well, they've also added support for sprinklers, faucets, and AirPlay 2 speakers, as I mentioned, and a whole host of other devices. And Lewis, you tell me if you've heard of HomeKit devices available in these categories, because I swear there are no HomeKit devices available in most of these categories, at least that I've heard of. Security devices, okay, that one I've heard of. Garage doors,
yeah,
I haven't heard of any of those.
Sure. Yeah,
have you?
Fact,
okay.
Yeah.
Fans, there are some You've good HomeKit those, fans. Right? In fact, I've talked about one, the Hunter Symphony fan, which I reviewed, and it's an amazing fan. There's lots of HomeKit lights. There's HomeKit outlets, of course. Air purifiers, any of those, Lewis?
That one I have not heard.
I have not heard of an AirKit purifier, but those are supported. Or a HomeKit purifier. HomeKit locks. There's lots of those now. I would say that's probably the most popular category. HomeKit humidifier.
Yeah, no, don't
haven't
know.
Heard of one of those. HomeKit haven't. Doorbell. Haven't seen one of those yet. HomeKit cameras. There are some HomeKit cameras out there, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I've got one of those hooked up, the D-Link, what's it called, Omna?
Okay, so there is one by a popular manufacturer there.
Yeah, and it works great, but it's just kind of a strange one. It doesn't. It only saves the video onto an SD card. So
what?
Yeah. So it's not really a security camera, right? Oh, maybe I'll just take that with me as I empty your house.
Exactly. I was like, oh, that's nice. Oh, a free SD card too.
I mean, it's handy for certain things, but it's
they want you to pay for that functionality, or it just really doesn't do it? It doesn't connect to the cloud at all.
It just doesn't do it. I don't know. I don't know. It's very odd to me.
I really hope that Netgear adds HomeKit support to their Arlo cameras.
Yeah, because
those are the best cameras that are out
there.
Right.
We've got a couple. We've been using ours to track the nightly wildlife that invades our house every night.
No. Raccoon cam.
There's mice now. Now we've got poker? Mice running around.
Oh, great. Yeah, you keep calling them mice, man.
Well, I think they are mice because they're not big enough to be rats.
Can I tell you guys a story? Total tangent the other day. So we have rats in our yard. There was a house that was built next door, and they tore down the old house, built a new one. And what I didn't know is that when that happens, all the rats from that area go to the surrounding areas, right? Because they don't want to be in the construction zone. And I heard what someone once said, there are two types of people in this world, people who know they have rats and people that don't know they have rats. I guess they're really common in everyone's yard. So we have rats in our yard. Sometimes I find my dog chasing them. And the other day I was emptying out the recycling into my recycle bin, and I had the lid up, and I put a box in, and then I heard the box kind of shift, and I was like, oh, what's going on in there, right? Because I thought maybe it was falling deeper into the can or something. And I walked closer to the can. It was pitch black outside. And in a moment of pure terror, a rat jumps out of my recycle bin and kamikazes against my chest. Like, boom, hits me right in the chest. And I shrieked. I yelled louder than I think I probably have in 10 years. I go, It was like midnight, and I hollered at the top of my lungs. I thought my neighbors were to come outside because I screamed so loudly. And then that rat, it hit the ground, and then it scrambled and it ran off into the inky shadows of the night. But that thing must have been inside the recycle bin already. And then I start putting bags and stuff in there, so it was getting freaked out. Right, it thought it was going to get crushed. And it was like, dude, I got to get the hell out of here. I can't believe how far that thing jumped. It was probably 2 feet down. And it hit me hard. Like, it felt like getting hit by like a paintball or something. Jeez. I'm surprised I didn't have a mark on my chest. But
glad it didn't bite you.
Yeah, probably tried to, but I was wearing a jacket. Terrifying event. Jeez. But anyway, okay.
There's no HomeKit rat detector
Not
yet.
Not yet, but that's something that clearly needs to exist. There's also HomeKit window shades.
God, I want some of those too,
or curtains. That would be great.
That is like one of the, I mean, honestly, I think about that. Of all the things, I mean, beyond lights, I think that the window shades is probably the most sort of luxurious and really useful thing that you could do. You know, it's like, oh God, you know, how many times are you sitting in your living room and suddenly the sun gets to that one point where suddenly you're blinded?
Yes.
And you just go, oh God, if I could just say, you know, dark mode or something like that, and all the blinds drop down to the bottom and you're not being blinded, that would be awesome.
Now, I have my butler do that for me, but I'm sure he would love it.
I can't get my wife to do it.
But I'm sure that that Jeeves would love it if I had some HomeKit compatibility there, so he wasn't constantly doing it for me. It's one of those minor things in life that you have to do all the time. Like when I come into my studio, the very first thing I do, I open all the shades, open them to the right level so that they don't blind me, and then I have to change them throughout the day, just like you said, so that the light doesn't hit me in the face or shine on my computer screen throughout the day. So that would be a major luxury for me. We should check out to see if there are any actual HomeKit enabled window shades.
There definitely are. And in fact, I've considered approaching some people about trying to get a hold of some of those.
You should do that. That would be a very interesting review to see how those work.
Hunter
how well those work.
Has some. Yeah, and they run on batteries, and they claim that they last for a long time, you know. Mm-hmm.
I don't know. That's the part of it that to me seems a little like a little hard to believe, actually. But you know, maybe they're great.
Yeah, because the motor's moving them up and down, and
it seems like a lot of work.
Yeah, it does.
They don't have that like yo-yos all night and all day, do they? I mean, they go down once at night and once up in the morning. So,
and then the other parts of the day, I guess they're just adjusting themselves. Maybe
do they?
Yeah. Well, you know, because you have to like open them, close them, just so the light's not hitting you, or sometimes you want to point the light at the ceiling or point the light downward or something. But yeah, that would be interesting. You should check that out, Lewis. And then finally, we have HomeKit thermostats, which are, I think, are pretty common now. There are some HomeKit compatible thermostats out there. I think the big part of this story, maybe bigger than the rest of it, is that previously manufacturers had to integrate a piece of hardware into their devices to make them HomeKit compatible. And Apple has relaxed that policy. So now manufacturers can do the entire HomeKit compatibility thing via software, which means I think pretty much any product could become a HomeKit device if they wanted to. They still have to pay Apple a licensing fee, which might prevent them from doing that. But for example, your Nest thermostat, which isn't HomeKit compatible, could be with just a firmware update, which would be great. So hopefully this will mean that there's going to be a lot more HomeKit device compatibility coming up, because it's so powerful now. You can control so many different things based on all these different conditions. You could really fine-tune the way your house works. You could be living in the house of the future. You could be Bill Gates. Bill Gates has been living in this house for 20 years. I once read a story about the house that he lives in, and he lives in a mansion in this neighborhood that's not too far from Seattle, on the water, of course. And he has his house designed to do all these things in an automated fashion. And when I was reading about it previously, they were saying that you had to wear like one of these little Star Trek things on your shirt so it knew where you were like throughout your house. And that's the house that you could be living in now. You have everything, you know, syncing with your smartphone. It knows where you're going. It knows when you're home. It knows when you're not. And you could have all these different lights and fans and heaters and AC units and doorbells changing their behaviors based upon where you are, what time of day it is, how you want them to behave. It's mind-blowingly powerful. We need that mind-blown emoji inserted here, Lewis. Because my mind was blown when I was reading about all these new capabilities. Of course, it's just there's just a lack of gadgets right now that support all this stuff. That's the biggest problem.
Yeah, the whole thing with the chip, you know, it's kind of strange. I mean, I haven't read that much about this, but I remember talking with vendors, and they're like, oh, yeah, you have to buy this thing, and it's, you know, the chip itself is $5 or something, you know.
Wow.
And it was, you know, it. I mean, obviously some people bit the bullet and bought it, but, you know, if you're talking about an $80 device, it's a significant portion of the hardware cost, right?
So absolutely. Absolutely.
It's easy to see why that or how that could slow things down. I'm just wondering why Apple did it that way in the first place, and if they thought it was necessary then, why they think it's not necessary now.
Right.
I mean, the whole encryption aspect of HomeKit is one of the strong selling points for it. Mm-hmm. You know, you know, you're not going to get hacked. Your camera isn't going to be part of a a DDoS attack on somebody.
You have some perv watching you shower.
So, you know, I guess they figured it out. I mean, I honestly, of all the things that Apple does, I think that their security stuff is actually pretty serious and pretty good. And they seem more concerned about that than any other company working in this space. So
maybe it would just be a performance hit. Maybe it works more efficiently with like an encryption chip. And now that it's going through the software, maybe it won't work as fast. I just don't think that Apple will sacrifice security to make this more ubiquitous. I can't see them doing that.
Yeah, I think you're right.
All right, well, if you're not using HomeKit-enabled devices or the Home app yet, play around with it. Just go in there, play around with it. Try to get your hands on something simple like a HomeKit-enabled light. IKEA sells them now. I don't even think they're that expensive. So you can test them out and kind of see what they do and how they work. And once you start using them, I think you're going to fall in love with them. I have. I think they're pretty amazing, and they're definitely the future of homes. So go give it a shot. HomeKit, the Home app. You're really going to like what you see, I think. It's really going to tickle you. You'll be like, ooh, stop. Okay, so before we move on, I just want to say a real quick word. For those of you listening, to all of our cult friends, If you would be so kind to go and leave us a review in iTunes, I can't express how helpful that is for us. We really appreciate those so much because iTunes uses those reviews and those ratings to place us in the various lists in which we get placed. And believe it or not, I know this is going to be hard to believe. Our show is generally in the top 100 tech podcasts that are out there, thanks to you guys. And the only way that we stay there is by people, A, downloading the show and then also reviewing the show. So if you would do that for me, I'll make you a promise. If you would do that for me, if we ever meet in person, I'll put my arms around you and I'll hold you real close and I'll rub my beard maybe on your cheek and neck area. I might even go down below the equator and grab onto your cheeks. I'm not going to do that last part, okay? Who am I? Harvey Weinstein? I'm not going for it. Did I take that too far? Maybe. All that to say, your iTunes reviews really help us. And if you would leave us an iTunes review in your respective store, a 5-star review, especially if you like the show, 5 stars. That's the magic number. That's what we really need. And you might only think that we're worth 1 star. And I understand that. I totally get that. But be more generous than you feel. Take the high road. Take the high road for us and just give us those 5 stars. All right, let's go ahead and wrap it up with an all-new under review. Lewis, what do you got for us this week?
Are you ready for this?
Oh, dude, drop it on me.
I can't even believe that I'm able to talk about this, but I'm going to. It's a MacBook sleeve.
And you said it was made from human skin, right?
No, I think what I said was it feels almost like human skin.
Oh, I'm assuming you mean a live human skin.
Yeah, that's
okay.
Oh boy, can we delete that part?
What brand is it?
So this MacBook sleeve is by a Swedish company called Walnut.
Walnuts, okay.
Walnut. I'd never heard of them. They contacted us out of the blue. They said, "Hey, we've got these great things. You know, would you mind checking them out?" And I said, "Yeah, okay, sure. I guess I'll check out a MacBook sleeve." And honestly, this is one of those things.
Wow,
where
that is nice.
You pop this thing out of the shipping container, and it's just like, oh my God, this is so nice. It's unbelievable. I mean, I found myself getting, you know, kind of aroused. It's really. I mean, it's just a beautiful leather. The stitching is fantastic around. You could just. It's like perfect. And I mean, I don't know, man. There's just something about it. The interior is this beautiful kind of gray felt, and it's hard to explain. Getting excited about a MacBook sleeve. It's nothing I'd ever even tried or used ever in my life before. And then oddly enough, I go to Italy this year, and I did not have this thing at that time. Mm-hmm. But the whole time that I was in Italy, I had my my laptop, my little MacBook. I carried it with me just in case I couldn't get back in time for the Apple thing. Mm-hmm. And I kept putting it in a bag, you know, just I had this like shoulder bag, and it's like every time I put it in there, I was cringing like, oh God, is it going to get scraped up on this and dinged up on that? And I mean, usually when I'm carrying my laptop, I'm carrying a backpack that has a special, you know, compartment for that. But in this case, it didn't. It's just a straight bag. And my God, if I'd have had this thing, I would have breathed so much easier the entire time I was there. And this thing fits perfectly. Your MacBook slides perfectly into it, and it actually looks awesome. I can't believe how excited I got about a MacBook sleeve. It's really great. I mean, walnutcovers.com is where you can find their stuff.
I'll link to it in the show notes too.
Great.
Well, what you didn't mention either is the felt inside of the cover is 100% wool. It's real natural felt. I didn't even know felt came from wool.
And they've also got, you know, some people might like this, some people might not. They've got a little branding on the outside. It says Walnut. And it's got this little sheep's head icon that every time I look at it, it makes me chuckle. I don't know. I love it.
It's minimalist, actually. And it's a cool logo. I think it's a pretty cool logo. Was that a sheep wearing a helmet?
Yeah. It actually looks like a lion. A sheep and a stormtrooper or something.
It looks like a lion, actually. If you look at it, it looks like a lion with a mane.
Yeah, it's kind of tastefully embossed there into the cover. You know,
sheep is a valiant, noble creature.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind having it on my on my laptop sleeve, and it's just a small logo. It's really not. It's not that gaudy.
No, no, it's not gaudy at all. It's just, you know, some people are really, really against any kind of branding or whatever. Yeah. In this case, it actually gives it a little bit of character.
Yeah.
And
I'd prefer if the sleeve said Abercrombie and Fitch across the front and the back, but that's just
Abercrombie and what?
Abercrombie and Fitch. Or Forever 21. Forever 21 would be fine, too. I just like, you know, cool logos like that.
The other thing about this thing is that it's, you know, it's holding up well. I've been using it for a while now. I'm finishing up my 800-word review of a MacBook sleeve. But, you know, we actually do test these things. I mean, we don't just, like, write reviews based on a couple of pictures we saw on the internet or, you know, 6 minutes with something. You know, we... At least I do.
Yeah, we wait 3 years until...
I like to wait until the product's no longer available to start typing.
No comments. This looks like one of those items that if your great-grandfather had a computer, he would keep his computer in, and then he would hand it down. Like, it would come with, like, his compass and his pocket knife, and you'd get it, you know, years later, and you'd keep your computer in it. It has an old-world feel to it. What's that?
And it would still look great.
It would probably look even better than it originally did, right? Because it would be vintage at that point. But it's just one of those items that they don't make items like this anymore. I don't feel like everything is mass produced and made in China. And this is, it looks like it's actually made from quality materials.
Oh man, it's great.
Okay, well we'll link to this in the show notes if you need a way to protect your MacBook Pro. I think this is probably a aesthetically a pleasing option. That you might be into. Okay.
Yeah, and it's surprising how handy it comes in. I mean, I honestly, I never thought about a MacBook sleeve ever in my life before, but now that I got one, I'm like, oh.
You love it, clearly.
What was I thinking?
And I love realizing how much of a man of refined taste you are. It's leather MacBook sleeves, leather iPhone cases, everything in your life is leather. Do you wear leather pants as well?
Oddly enough, I was wearing some Lederhosen last weekend. And that is God's honest truth.
It matches his Lederhosen. Yeah.
Are they like the short Lederhosen?
No, I think they're called a kniebunda or something. I got the one slight down. I don't like showing off the old kneecaps. I could send you a picture.
I would love to see that,
please. For a fee.
Yeah, okay, well, once we get Apple Pay person to person, I'll send you some money there, okay? I'll give you an IOU via iMessage. Okay, Lander, I'm sure yours is going to be cooler than mine, so I'll go next and you can kind of wrap us up, okay?
Okay.
So I have another case that I wanted to pimp. We talked about cases the last two shows for your iPhone 8s, and I have another case that I really love, and it's inexpensive. It is the Spigen Liquid Armor. They make this for iPhone 8, iPhone 8 Plus, iPhone 7, iPhone 7 Plus. In fact, it's the same case for both models. And what I love about this case, it's completely minimalist. It provides pretty good protection. It has a cool geometric shape engraved into the back. And it's made of like this really soft, kind of grippy, I call it a vinyl material. I guess it's TPU. It's like a kind of plastic. And the buttons on your phone remain easily, nice and clicky and also easily accessible, like your vibration and a button is easy to turn on and off. And the case is easy to take on and off because, you know, sometimes you want to take the case off so you can, like, get all the grit and grime out of your case and off of your iPhone. Maybe it's just me. I do that from time to time. And this case makes it really easy to do that as well. And just, it's one of those cases that emphasizes the design of your iPhone. It's handsome. It's easy on the eyes. And I'm looking at the price on Amazon right now. It's only $11 right now. Jeez. On Amazon. I mean, it's one of the most inexpensive cases that I think I've tested. And for $11, this is a absolute steal. I've been using this case for years on different model iPhones, and I've never had a single problem with it. You know, some cases they crack or they break or they just aren't very durable. I have never had a single issue with this case. So this is one that I think you need to check out if you have an iPhone 8 or an iPhone 7. I'll link to it in the show notes. It's called the Spigen Liquid Air Armor. Oh, and I should also mention, I did a review of my favorite 9 minimalist iPhone cases on my YouTube channel that fit the iPhone 8 and the iPhone 7. And this is one of the phones that was in that review roundup. So if you want to see what this case looks like on an iPhone 7 Plus or iPhone 8 Plus, you can go check that out. I'll link to the video in the show notes so you can go take a peek at that review.
What color you got?
I got black. Because I went with the black phone.
And it's
time.
Your favorite case of all time?
No, no, no. It's not my favorite case of all time, but it's one of my favorite cases of all time, yeah. Especially for the price. Because, you know, some of the cases out there are $40-$50. Like the Rhino Shield Crash Guard, which I love. I talked about that last episode. I think it's $26 now. So even that one is, you know, twice the price of this one. So it's a really good price.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Available in midnight blue. Speaking of makes,
yeah, good rubbery stuff.
They do, yeah. They
good
do.
Rubbery stuff.
Yeah, they make excellent contraceptives too, Leander.
Well, I was thinking I had a rubbery watch strap that I thought was pretty good.
They make watch straps too? I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. All right, Leander, take us home. What do you got?
Oh man, you're gonna love this. Okay.
Oh, tell me.
Who doesn't
break it
love
to me.
A good power brick?
Maybe I should have gone last.
Well, if you're traveling, you got to have a power brick, right? You know, when we were on vacation in Thailand, you know, we all took power bricks with us because, you know, it's hard to get through a day, especially when you're traveling. You know, you're checking the maps, taking lots of
photos. Oh, yeah, if you're traveling, you got to have one.
Right. And so, you know, we were taking two or three power bricks. And sometimes if we took one power brick, you know, invariably everyone would want to use it, right? There's six of us. So, you know, one power brick wasn't enough to go around. So we'd all end up taking our own power brick. Which was okay, it was fine. But then, you know, people weren't very on top of charging up the power bricks at the end of the day.
Shocking.
Right, exactly. So often, you know, we'd find ourselves without a power brick. Anyway, cut a long story short, I got this power brick from Mophie. It's called the Power Station, the Mophie Power Station, USB-C XXL.
And holy, I haven't even looked at this yet. I can already tell it's going to be a beast.
This thing's a beast. It will recharge a MacBook Pro. Because it's USB-C,
wow.
And you know it's a 19,500 milliamps.
Jeez,
wow!
Which is a lot. It's not the biggest because there are definitely some bigger ones out there. But the beauty of that is you know it's got a lot of it'll run an iPhone for another 100 hours, which is crazy.
This thing's a beast. Look at this thing.
Right.
It's not that large either.
It's not actually that large. That's the funny thing, right? So for such a powerful battery pack, it's about the size of an iPhone 7, you know, 8, 7 or 8 Plus.
Mm-hmm.
So it's about the size it's actually smaller than a you know, iPhone 8 7 or 8 Plus. But thicker. So it's probably about twice the size and twice as heavy. But it's actually not that bad. You know, for a battery that will power a laptop.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got USB-C charging. So if you plug it into, you know, one of the 80-watt USB chargers that comes with your laptop, it recharges in 3 hours, which is really good.
Wow.
Right? So it's got fast recharging. And it'll also pump out 30 watts when it's recharging, you know, a compatible device. So if you plug it into your laptop, it'll plug, you know, it'll pump 30 watts into your laptop, which is really pretty powerful. Wow. And the other port, it's got a regular USB, port, you know, USB-A, and that's at 3 watts too.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll do. I'm sorry, that's 2.4 watts. The other one is 3 watts. What am I saying? 3 amps.
Mm-hmm.
And this one is 2.4 amps. So it'll do. You know, it'll fast charge any other USB device that you put into it too.
Well, this is crazy. I mean, it does phones. It does laptops too. You can do your MacBook Pro with this thing.
Right. And it'll do two devices at the same time. It does really clever pass through. So if you're charging, if you plug it into an outlet, it'll do priority charging plus priority pass through. So it'll recharge whatever device is plugged into it before it recharges itself.
I'm guessing it will charge a MacBook Pro pretty slowly, though, because aren't the MacBook Pro chargers 60 watts?
Yeah.
And this is only able to provide power up to 30 watts.
Right. Yeah, but it'll keep you running if you know, if you need it.
This thing's a beast. Of course, it's got a beastly price, too.
Yeah, well, there's the...
How much is this thing, Leander?
You might want to cover your ears, everybody. It's $150.
Oh!
Yeah. But it's.
I just got a nosebleed.
Yeah, it's the one. And then if you look at all the accessories too, you know, it comes with one USB-C to USB-C cable.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, am I saying that right? You know what? I better double check that. Because
no, in the box, USB-CXL, USB-A to USB-C, and USB-C to USB-C.
Okay, so it comes with two cables, both. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. Right, which is pretty good.
Yeah, that's generous of them to give you
those
both.
Those are not cheap.
No, and then,
honestly, when you were talking about this, I was expecting to see something the size of a briefcase.
Yeah, no, I do have something the size of a briefcase. Remember the other one I got?
The backbreaker.
It'll recharge your car. It'll jump out your
really?
Car. Those things are massive. There was one that, and it has, you know, like there's some the other. I haven't seen one this small, this powerful.
Yeah.
And it's covered in fabric. It's really nice. It's really bulletproof. It's really well made. And it comes with a bunch of different accessories, which of course, like they're pretty. Those are kind of Apple.
I mean, this can literally charge everything that you own.
Right.
That's the crazy part about this, and it has such a massive battery, and the fact that you could do USB-C to USB-C on your MacBook Pro, and charge your MacBook Pro with this thing. Okay, so the price makes a little bit more sense to me now, because this isn't just like one of those iPhone chargers that you use when you're traveling. I mean, you take this thing, and it could keep your Nintendo Switch going, it could keep your headphones going, I mean, it could keep all your devices going.
Right, absolutely, yeah. It's for everything. It's the
okay, so this is the Power Station USB-C XXL. I kind of feel like you need to say it like that.
They shouldn't say XXL because it makes it sound like it's gigantic, but it's actually quite diminutive. You know, it's actually
true.
It's very, very portable.
Yeah, it's kind of a misnomer, isn't it? Yeah. Because it's a small device with big power.
Right.
XXS.
And if you need if someone has a heart attack on an airplane, you just get a couple of wires and zap them, and it'll perk them right back up again.
You can strip the wires on your Apple earpods and then just. Claire, turn on the XXL. He's just like brought back to life.
Right, exactly.
Attach the wires to his nipples. Yeah, he's going to be living for another 20 years.
Please do not try this.
Yeah, just please make sure you wrap the wires around his nipples first and then wet them amply so that when you boot this thing up, the juice flows. Okay.
You see, it's available in a wide range of colors, including black and only black. That's okay.
It's like
though.
The Model T. That's all right.
Since it's covered in fabric, has it got a nice feel to it?
Yeah, how's it feel, Leander?
Oh, it feels really nice. Very luxe. Yeah, it feels almost as good as Lewis's MacBook sleeve.
Hard to believe.
It's actually nice. Yeah. It reminds me of the Google Daydream, products that are covered in fabric. It's soft. It's not that soft. You know, you couldn't use it as a pillow. You don't want to lay your head on it. But it's not bad. And it seems pretty durable. You know, like it hasn't frayed. I've been using it for a while. I had it in my bag. It's standing up pretty well.
All right, so we will link to all of these products in the show notes, as always, if you would like to check them out. Let's go ahead and wrap it up there. That's all the Cultcast we have for you guys this week. If you want to come discuss any of the stories we talked about today or tell us about a product you think that we should review on the show, we are on Twitter. I'm at Airfon. Leander is L. Caney. Lewis is at Lewis Wallace. This is the Cultcast, the best 30-plus minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the Cultcast come out every Thursday night. I want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll see you guys. Leander, you give me something this time.
Next time.
Oh, it's with so much gusto.
That was pretty good.
Yeah, that's good. I can tell you really put your diaphragm into that. I think Buster, when he's not talking, he just gets real close to the microphone. He just breathes, and then he puts his ears next to it. I honestly think that's what happens. Because sometimes I'll listen to his audio solo, and I just hear, and I can hear my own voice.
I bet you just sit there and listen to that for hours.
I put it on a loop, yeah.
ASMR, Buster edition.
Yeah, that's what I should get on YouTube. Leander, you'd watch that, huh?
Oh, man, yeah.
Bearded man, heavy breathing. Yes.
I was listening to some crinkling ones yesterday.
Oh, God.
It's got like 3 million views. It's crazy.
Oh, my gosh. That's crazy. What was she crinkling?
Can't remember. Oh, I don't know. I don't actually watch the videos. You know, I just listen to the audio. I think it was like a bag of balls or something. You know, so, yeah. Like it sounded just like that.
Actually, that's kind of that is a nice sound.
It is nice. It's really, yeah, really relaxing.
I think I'm going to record an ASMR.
It could be because a new feature of the Cultcast.
There you go. It would probably make the Cultcast a lot better if we just, instead of talking, we just crinkled things.
Well, right. And she's also she did one for Blue Apron where she cooked a whole meal while she was whispering while she did it. And so it's a sponsored, you know, it was a sponsored post from Blue Apron, a sponsored video.
Do you think my voice is sexy enough to do a
ASMR? No, it's way too annoying.
Nasal. You need to talk more like this.
It'd be like listening to Urkel do an ASMR.